You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality
with Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. And you can catch our show every Sunday from 5 to 5:50 p.m. on LA Talk Radio, of course. And if this is your first time tuning in, our show is about informative entertainment, and it's done in a fun, upbeat improv style. And we're going to provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how to pursue a career in show business and all the careers that are available in show business that you may not know about. And we have guests that work in various professions of the entertainment industry, so I'm sure there are some possible jobs that you might not even know exist. And this means that we're definitely going to have somebody from a career that you're interested in hearing about on sooner or later. Now, if you want to know who's going to be on the show in the future, you can always visit the Question Reality website directly, and that address is questionreality.us. not .com, questionreality.us. And if you want to check out any of our past guests, read their bios, listen to, or download any of the shows, then you can go right to latalkradio.com and you can click on Channel 1. Channel 1, that's a link at the top of the LA Talk Radio website. And you look for our show, Question Reality, with my cute little face on it. And we're on Sunday at 5. You just click the link, and it'll take you directly to the archive page. And there you can see all the shows from May of last year, which is when we started. And you can hit play, and you can hear the show right away. Or you can hit download and just download us right to the computer and listen to any show at your leisure. We're also on iTunes. Exciting. Not that I know how to get there, because I don't do the iTunes thing, but we're on there. Albert takes care of that. And we'd love for you to call in and ask questions or provide any comments for any guests that we have on the show. And we ask that you call in between 5:15 and 5:30. And when you call in, we take your calls directly. You don't have to go through a screening process. You get to talk to us live and in action. And you should see the call-in number. It should be right in front of you if you're listening to us right now. But just in case you want to give it to someone, or if you are, you don't want to miss a show, you want to call in and you're driving up the coast, the number is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. And we have a fantastic guest for you today. This guy, his name is Andy Brousseau. I hope I am pronouncing that correctly.
Yes, you are.
He is an actor and a comedian. And I actually met Andy on the set of, ironically, the Budweiser commercial that is airing today on the Super Bowl. And I met him, and we just hit it off. We started talking about his girlfriends and all his little activities, and I just found him fascinating. I said, oh my God, I gotta have him as a friend, because I love people who are quirky and kind of, you know, outside the box and just say what's on their mind and then funny at the same time. So he's an actor, he's a comedian, and he's a lot more than that, and we're gonna find out a little bit more about him. But why don't you go to his website right now so you can look at his credits. And his website is andybrousseau.com, and that's andybrousseau.com. andybrousseau.com. He is a member of SAG and AFTRA, and he has been in the business for a while. And I'm going to ask him today to tell us the good, the bad, and the ugly sides of being an actor and a comedian. I don't want to just hear all the fluff. I want to hear the dark side too. I want to hear the bad, the ugly. I want to hear everything, all the trials and tribulations, because we do have a lot of guests that come on and they talk about how wonderful it is to pursue a career in acting, which it is, but I want to start hearing what's going on behind the scenes. I want to hear about the struggles, because people do need to know about what actually happens that's not so light and airy, fluffy and puffy. And I think Andy is going to give us the light, airy, fluffy and puffy, and then he's going to give us the, I want to hear some darkness. I want to hear some stuff that you do need to be aware about when you pursue a career in entertainment. So without further ado, let's talk to Andy Brousseau. Welcome, Andy.
Welcome, Priscilla. Thank you for allowing me to be here today.
You are welcome. Am I saying your name right? Because it's so hard for me to pronounce French names.
Well, I would pronounce it Andy Brousseau.
Brousseau. Okay.
The French people tend to pronounce them much better than I do.
Okay.
In fact, I've been on a set, some French lady, she said my name, and I go, oh, repeat that again. Would you that?
Yeah,
she
that
said
sounds
it really,
better.
Really nice.
Now, you have a beautiful voice, as I was just telling you.
Nice.
You sound exactly like a radio DJ. Have you ever wanted to pursue a career in that, or do people tell you that all the time, or have you ever done it?
I have got that a few times about my speaking voice. I have not pursued radio. I've been pursuing a lot of things. Right now, I'm pursuing acting.
Yeah, I know that. Now, let me ask you, how long, well, let's go way back in the day. When did you first realize that you wanted to become an actor?
It started when I starred, directed, and produced my sixth grade play.
Okay.
It was going to be a series of Gilligan's Island deal.
Oh.
And I was actually going to play Gilligan. I play Gilligan. And ever since then, it's been in my blood.
Okay. Yep. Now when you did this, okay, so you're in the sixth grade, you do this little play, and what do you do? You decide at that point that you want to be an actor? And if you did, what did you do to follow through with that and continue on the acting path?
Well, again, it just happened one day. We were just sitting around talking, and we decided, well, that would be a good thing to have a play. And then I kind of carried it on and told people to do this and do that. And the play went up. It was kind of cool. And it just kind of hung around a little bit. And I never really got started until I went to college.
Okay.
Then I started college, and I have a degree in theatrical productions and engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So I can build them, design them, and put them together.
Oh, the sets?
And
the
act sets. In them, yes.
So you had this thing in the sixth grade, and you knew you wanted to be an actor. Did you know? Are you saying you did know you wanted to be an actor after you did the sixth grade thing? Or
not really. It didn't like, hey, go do this and stuff. It was just something that woke up in me that I can do this.
So you thought you liked it, and then it went away, and then you got a degree in other things. Was that to pursue a career in that? Did you have a passion for that, engineering or?
Well, ever since I was a kid, I've always had things in my mind like, how does this work? How do you fix it? I mean, if I take it apart, can I put it back together? And so I had all these questions about the universe and how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went to school and learned engineering, and I don't have any of those questions anymore.
Okay.
So,
well, that was good.
I have answers.
Oh, good. See, go to school, get answers to your questions. So you never really, the fire and the passion for acting wasn't burning in your loins at that point.
Not yet.
So you graduate with your degree in engineering, and what happens then?
And the whole time I was going to college, we were going back and forth to Hollywood down here with the dance.
Because you're from Oregon, right?
I'm from Oregon. Mm-hmm. Where all this started. And we kept coming down here to Hollywood, doing showcases around town, the Hollywood Roosevelt, the Brown Derby. That takes you back a ways.
Mm-hmm.
And back and forth. And then I moved down here back in 85 for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
Did some acting. Worked on a crew for an indie at UCLA
mm-hmm.
down there. Worked that. And really got my blood.
Okay.
Then that's when the fire started.
So you never, when you got your degree, you didn't actually go into the engineering field and start working as an engineer.
No, Boeing from Seattle offered me a job right out of college.
Okay.
But I didn't go with Boeing. I don't want to say anything bad about them. It's just that they hire and lay off. And
yeah.
I didn't want to do that.
That is true. I know a lot of people who say the same thing. Okay, so now you got your little degree.
Yes.
And you've been doing, you said you came down here to do showcases. What did you mean by that?
Well, I was managing a dance group at that time.
Okay.
And they were trying to promote themselves as a dance group. And back then, some of my friends were in a movie called Xanadu.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of dance movies back then.
Right. We're talking the 80s.
80s, yes.
Yeah.
The
80s. And we're talking Xanadu, the gorgeous... Olivia Newton-John.
Yes, in fact, Matt Latanzi went to college with me. He was in the theatrical department also.
Okay.
He came down here. He got a part in her TV special in 1979.
Uh-huh.
And I guess they fell in love, and that was it. So he moved down here, and he was driving the cars around, living in houses, and they got married. I guess they have two kids.
Uh-huh.
And fortunately, they got divorced in 1993, I believe. So
you came down here. Now, you said that you came down here doing showcases. You were managing a dance group. So I imagine we skipped over some part where you learned dance. When did that happen?
Well, one of my minors in college was also dancing.
Oh, we didn't know that. Yeah, what type of dancing?
Well, I did all the stuff. I did the modern, the jazz, the ballet, the tap dancing. I also was a synchronized swimmer.
Wow.
We put on dance shows two years in a row, or swimming shows, rather, synchronized swimming.
Wow.
Yeah, did all the stuff.
So you were qualified to be able to come down here and to do these dance showcases, which were very popular.
Yes.
Okay. So when did you, what happened to get you into the acting, to go from the dancing into the acting?
Age. You have to be a young little kid, 10 to 18. Once you start getting to 25, you're pretty much done, actually. So I've had to slow down a little bit. So that's why I don't do the dancing much.
Yeah, the dancing, that's a little hard after 35.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, we did hula hoop dances and black lights and ribbon dances.
Uh-huh.
And we were just doing everything.
Yeah, that's the period you would do it in, the 70s and 80s. That's for sure.
Well, at least you could dance. I could never dance.
Yeah.
I was
a dancer. I was a dancer. I was whooping it up back in the 80s. Yeah.
Yeah, disco.
There was a time when I could stay on that dance floor for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, nonstop. Well, but I was like the whip. I'd go in the club. I was such a great dancer. I would have the men lining up wanting to dance with me. I was the hottie. I was. I'm telling you now. No bragging here, but I loved dancing, and I'd always wanted to be on Solid Gold, that show that was on.
Oh, yes.
I used to watch that every week and wish that I could be on that the National Solid Gold show.
Yeah.
And they did, there was an opportunity in the town that I was in, they had like something similar, and I was able to get on a local show, which fascinated me. So that's really great that you learned all those, because I wanted to learn how to do all that stuff.
But, you just got to do it.
It just depends. And I'm a little too old now, but I did do my tap. I went through the tap thing. So that was fun. So I bet you had some fun doing the tap.
Yeah, so it was all fun. The best one I liked was the adagio. That's where you pick the girls up, throw them over your head, twirl them around, scoop them, dip them.
Yeah,
oh, that
that's
was great.
A little crazy. So now let's get to the acting thing. What happened to get you, what was your first acting job, and when did you decide that you wanted to be an actor as a full-time career?
Well, when I was up in Seattle, I had a computer store, and I was always around people. I've always been around people. I've always liked being in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I auditioned for a play up there, and I got the part, but unfortunately they didn't get the funding, so the play didn't happen, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then life changed, so then I moved down here to Los Angeles about 4 years ago. There's so many people that I know have been in the movie business, Matt Latanzi, Olivia Newton-John, and decided, it's my turn, and I think that I want to pursue this career. I know I want to pursue this career. So I came down here, and I started taking classes. And then one thing about the classes was when I got down here, I thought, I don't need any lessons. I'm good enough. And, was I 100% wrong. I thought I knew everything, but I didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you think or you do know stuff, you never should not ever be in a class. You should always be in a class.
That's right. So I'm looking at your resume here, and it looks like you were on one of my favorite shows. You co-starred on JAG Oh, Chad. David James Elliott. Oh, he's just the fantasy. He's the fantasy man. I know you probably didn't feel that way about him.
He's tall. He was a tall guy.
Yeah, but the guy says, yeah, he's tall.
Very, and he's chiseled, yes.
He's a chiseled man. Uh-huh. So did you actually, were you in a scene with him? A co-star, I imagine you were in a scene with either him or that hot chick that was on there, Catherine Bell.
Well, it was a courtroom scene. That's what it was.
And, how did you like that?
It was okay. It was a 2-day scene, and it was all right.
I've seen every episode of JAG. I'm going to have to revisit it. You're going to have to tell me which one you were on. So I have to watch that again because I've seen every episode. And then you were on co-starred on Alias. Now, Albert and I never took to that show. We never even watched it. That was with that real pretty girl. I don't remember her name.
Yeah.
But I know that everybody kept saying, watch it, but we never did. How did you like that?
I didn't watch it much either because it was spy and stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't really, it didn't take with me either.
Oh, you're not a spy.
Well, I mean, I'm a James Bond person, yes. Mm. Oh, yes.
But not a spy. And then you
he's not a spy.
He's not.
Just for the record.
And then you guest starred on Untold Stories of the ER.
Yes.
It's exciting. And then you, oh my God, you were on a show that I was on. I'm looking here, 6 Feet Under.
Yes, I was an undertaker.
Oh, isn't that fun? Oh, I did a scene on there. It was a scene where I was in a gym. And afterwards, I got to meet the guy. What is his name? He's now on Ugly Betty. His name is Freddie. Crap, I cannot remember his
last name.
Freddy
Krueger.
No, not Freddy Krueger. Sure, anyway, he was he was so nice. He had brought his child, his son, to the set, and he's just wonderful. And I really enjoyed working on 6 Feet Under. They really, 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 really had a good time. Oh, I recently went for an audition for True Blood, which is a vampire movie, and I got to meet Alan Ball. And he's like, oh, so I see you were in 6 Feet Under. And that was about it. That was the extent of that. But so what else? So you were on a lot of films. I see you have an extensive film background. You're the lead in all of these movies here. You've done theater. You got live performances, commercials, good training. Oh, my God, the special skills. Now, we're going to talk about special skills.
Yes.
I want you to tell people how valuable it is to have special skills. One, the more skills you have, if you don't really have a good, solid training yet, but you have special skills, that's a good thing because you could get cast in something having the special skills. So that's another way in. For example, Andy here says on his resume, he's got archery, billiards,
really?
Power and sailboating, computer technology, heavy construction. I like that. Conversation, comedy, dance, firearms. And he lists the firearms, 9mm, 357, 22. First aid, fishing, western horseback riding, auto mechanic, and sciences. And sometimes you may have like a thin resume just starting out. But if you have a lot of the special skills, you could get cast just for that in a really big blockbuster movie or a really, really big show just for that. I've known that to happen many times. So
yes,
that's really good that you know, anything that you have, egg tossing, you may think, well, why would somebody want to know that? Believe it or not, there could be a part for you. So put anything on that you could possibly think of. So Andy, tell us, fill us in. All right, so you're an actor and you do comedy. What do you do with your comedy? You go to the comedy clubs. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so go to the comedy clubs. I've been to the Laugh Factory. The comedy club. Mm-hmm. Several little places around town. My comedy partner, Joe. Hey, Joe, if you're out there listening. Yeah, we'll be in touch pretty soon. And we get routines together. You know, Abbott and Costello type routines, back and forth. Jerry Lewis, Steve Martin type stuff. It's different comedy when you have two people than just one on stage.
Right.
And we've got one of our favorites is, I call it Cell Phone. We have a little predicament situation.
Cell Phone the movie, yes.
Which we'll be filming.
That's called Cellular.
No, it's Cell Phone the movie.
That's going to be mine. Cell Phone the movie. Coming out next month.
Now, let me ask you, how is it that you have been able to survive? We want to know, how has it you've been able to survive? You got your degree in engineering, you never went into engineering, and yet you've been surviving. You actually have a car, which a lot of actors don't, and you're dressed nice, so you afford nice clothes. How have you been able to survive financially, not actually working a day job? Or did you work a day job? How do you supplement your income and pursue a career as an actor?
Well, at night I dress up in a cape, and there's something I always want to ask an actor in Hollywood, and that is, could you give me another cup of coffee? But they never ask me that. There's a taboo about people doing background work in the industry. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's how I make my money. That's how I've made it down here, and I've been doing that for about 4 years now. And there isn't anything wrong with doing background. Now, by being a background, I'm around name brand actors. Mm-hmm. I see how everything works. Mm-hmm. I hear how the names of things. I learn not to trip over cables.
Right.
I learn the ins and outs of being on a set. So mm-hmm. it's very important. Plus, mm-hmm. you get money.
Yeah.
Also, there's food.
Yeah.
There's some months I don't buy any food at home because I have plenty of food that's on set.
Wow.
Some of the layouts of these guys have food. Multiple dessert tables.
You eat like a king when you work on the set, don't you?
Multiple tables. Sometimes you go to the truck and you order whatever you want. They make it for you right there.
No.
There's craft service all day long of good stuff and junky stuff. There's sodas.
Oh, I stuff my purse, my bra, any pocket I can. I stuff it because they have peanuts and little Oreo cookies. I'm stuffing like a maniac.
Even the lunches, they give you a to-go box. And they don't mind if you pack that up and put it in your car and come back, because they have to throw all that food out. They cannot keep the food.
Right.
So they throw it out.
Right. So for 4 years, you're working enough background to supplement your income? That's amazing.
That is my income doing background.
That is amazing.
I keep very busy.
Wow.
With doing background. It allows me to do the fun stuff also, and that is student films. Now, some people downgrade student films, but I don't. When I first got down here, after about 6 months, I started in doing student films. I said to myself, I'm going to do student films because if I'm going to make any mistakes, I'm going to make it there.
Right.
And so I started in, I remember my very first student film, Chevy Chase.
Uh-huh.
Chevy, if you're listening out there, got me started in all these movies doing student films. And I just kept going online and submitting to anything that fit mm-hmm. me. Just went and did a lot of those. And I don't know if I hold the record, but about 3 years ago when I started doing student films, I did 27 student films in 37 weeks.
Wow. Oh, my God.
So I did a little determined overboard. So if there's anybody that can beat that record, let me know. But this is what it takes to be and do this business. You can't just wanna be. You have to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's no room for wannabe.
I'm still fascinated that you can actually make an income doing the background acting. You must be. I mean, I know people who do the background acting consistently, but they have a day job, too. Or a part-time job. They've never been able to live off of just the background acting. So I'm fascinated with that.
Well, also,
do you do it?
Let's see how you say this. I'm real thrifty. I pay attention to where money goes.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I drink bottled water, but I go down and buy the gallon water and I put it in the little bottles.
Right.
I save money there. Just any place that I can save money. Plus, I'm driving little tiny Honda car. It's 43 miles per gallon.
Oh, that's great.
But it's given out, so I got to get another car.
Wow.
I just have myself set up. You have to be geared for the business because mm-hmm. I'm in this, and other people should be in this for the long haul, not
right.
just for I'm going to try this for a couple years, and if I make it big, I'll stay. If not, no, it's a lifetime commitment career.
Mm-hmm.
You have to change the way you think. You have to change your outlook on life if you want to be in this business, because
mm-hmm.
it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so rewarding.
Tell us some survival tools that an actor comes here from Menintok. I don't even know if that's a place. I think it is. I've heard it in legend. But is it Menintok?
Menintok, New Jersey.
Menintok, New Jersey. Oh, we don't know where it is. Anyway, say they're coming from Menintok. And they don't come from a wealthy background where they're being financed. What do you recommend that they do? How could they survive?
Well, when they get down to the first thing, if you don't want to work as waiting tables and you want to be in around the business, you have to do background.
Yeah.
Really. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to sign up for someplace, the biggest place in town is Central Casting.
Yay!
You have to go to Central Casting. I get 95% of my work through Central, actually.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Central Casting, I don't have the...
Centralcasting.com.
Mm-hmm. Sign up with them. You have to sign up with them.
Yes. And that, if you're going to sign up with Central Casting, be prepared to... Okay, they have specific days. You don't want to just go down there because they only take you on certain days. And they have some days if you're union, some days if you're non-union. So you got to go on the website and find out first. I'm not sure what days are which, but I know Mondays...
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday is non... SAG, and
okay.
they start at 10:30 to 11:30, and then the SAG people are Tuesdays and Thursdays at the same time.
So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday are non-union.
Yeah, non-SAG.
Non-union, and then Tuesdays and Thursdays are
the SAG.
SAG, and then you pay like $25.
I think it's $20 one-time registration fee. They take your picture, you fill out the information. You have to bring your physical Social Security card with you,
right.
And you have to bring picture identification.
Right.
If you don't have those two, they don't even sign you up. You're out the
door. Right. Yes. And this is a totally legitimate company. Been around for decades. I know I heard of them in the
80s. I was 70s, signed up 80s. With Central Casting in 1985.
Yeah, I know in the 80s. I think that I first heard of them. And let's talk a little bit about a lot of people are confused when they're starting out in this business because they hear these horror stories about everybody trying to get their money for different things. And they hear, oh, well, you know, if it's a legitimate company, you're not supposed to pay. But then every place you go, even though it's a legitimate company, they ask you to pay. Let's talk about that.
Pay to sign up for the background
yes.
work? Okay, like last year I signed up with three different companies, paid them $25, and signed up, fill out forms, and never heard from any of them again.
Right.
And everybody, there was like a lot of people there. They must have made thousands of dollars that
right.
day, and they do that ever so often. How to choose which ones are good, even I can't determine
mm-hmm.
that. Everybody says, oh, try this. And being an actor, you always want to just do everything you can. So
right.
you kind of like grab at straws a lot.
Right.
You have to be careful of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are hundreds of places down here that will take your money just to sign you up to not use you.
Exactly. So you want to go and do a little bit of research. And one of the places you can go, there's Samuel French. It's a bookstore, been around forever. And you can get these books that kind of gear you towards which are the most legitimate, which are the right companies to go to. There's also a company called HollywoodOS.com, and they've been around a while. As a matter of fact, I signed up with them when I first decided to pursue acting. And they come out with a book. It's called Extra Work for Brain Surgeons.
That's
have
correct.
You heard of that?
I have.
And this is like the greatest book ever. I highly recommend this book because it has in the back, first of all, it's got all the legitimate companies. And this Hollywood OS, the woman who owns it, her name is Angela, along with her husband. She has almost like a team. And what they do is they go around and make sure that they keep the latest updated information on what companies are open, what companies have closed, what companies are legitimate, what companies are scams. And in the back of the book, she will list all of the scam companies from experiences that her people have had. She asks them, call me, let me know, email me. She asks all of her people to let her know what's going on, as well as keeping her team's ears to the ground. And this is the greatest book you can have. It also teaches you the terminology that you hear on set, the etiquette that's on set, which is an etiquette for background, as well as, you know, foreground, but this is a background company. And I highly recommend this book. Again, it's if you go to HollywoodOS.com, they have it on there. It's called Extra Work for Brain Surgeons. And if you call and talk to Dave, you'll be able to get a free copy. So if you tell him that Priscilla from Question Reality referred you. And it's a $35 value book. So I highly recommend that. And now, like Andy was saying, He signed up for some companies, $20, $25. He never heard from them again. But there are also companies that you sign up for and you pay $20, $25, and you're going to hear from all the time. It really depends. For example, if you pay $20, $25, that's what these companies are charging. And they have to charge, especially in this economy, but long before. And they say it covers the cost of giving you a Polaroid. They get a picture of you. I don't know if they do Polaroids anymore. I think they do digital now. But they take a picture of you, and then you fill out, like a little form. You fill out, like, your height, yes, and your weight and experience. And then they put you on file. I think now they scan you in. They used to take a Polaroid and then put it in a file, but I think now they actually scan you in. And this really is, there are legitimate companies that do that. For example, I have a friend named Barbara Conway. She signed up with a company called Extras Extras. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Girl, I swear to God, this woman is working. Albert, am I right? She is working all the time. She's booking industrials. She just did a new oven. It's like a new oven commercial. $1,000. She got paid for this. I mean, she's booking, $1,000 this, $500 this, and she is getting paid. And this was, extra, extra. I think it's extra, extra management or extras, extras. I'm not sure. But then there's Hollywood OS. You pay a fee for that. They're totally legitimate. And what are some other ones that I know are definitely legitimate? That you sign up for. Stuart Stone Casting.
There's Extras Management.
Extras Management. But again, if you get this book, which is Extras, what did I just say? It's from Hollywood OS. I can't talk. What the hell is the name of the book, Andy? I just said the name of the book. It's Extras for Brain Surgeons. No. What's the name of the book? I've lost my mind.
Extra Work for Brain Surgeons?
Yeah, that's what it's called. Anyway, that's the book. Or you could go to Samuel French, and there are so many legitimate ones. But there are so many of them that are bogus, that are popping up. Like, I get emails. Now, I don't know if this company is legitimate. I don't know. Have you been getting emails from them? They're called Talent Jug or
Talent Jug. There's several that
I haven't heard, but they send all these attractive casting notices. But what I do is I call all my casting director friends, because I have a lot of casting director friends,
yes,
and I say, is this company legitimate? Now, not everybody has that that availability of a casting person. So what do you recommend that they do? Because a lot of people are going to get sucked into that.
You have to be careful with those things. You can call them, check them out, ask your friends.
Yeah.
They also have where you can go in to these auditions. Pay them $25. They'll give you a three-page script. You mm-hmm. work with somebody, go back in, and they have casting agents in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of those around town. I haven't done any myself. I think they are good to do.
Oh, what are you talking about? Casting director workshops?
Casting director
workshops.
Oh,
yeah. That's totally. Oh, my God. Signature Studios, which is where I go. A friend of mine, Lynn Milano, started that. Totally legitimate. Jeremy now owns it. But this is probably the best casting director place in town, because I don't know if you've been to a lot of them, but they're usually kind of in sleazy parts of the neighborhood, and there's roaches, and it's just really ucky and depressing. But at Signature Studios, oh my God, she does everything top class. She's got the red carpet with the purple director's chairs. You get water, you get snacks, treat it like a king or queen. And you can go to the website, and what's great is that she has all of the top casting director. You have to be a top casting director to come in to that class. You have to have something going on now that's A-list or is working.
That's nice.
Whereas a lot of times you go to these casting director workshops and they have people are like, who is that? I've never heard of this person.
Or they send their assistants.
Yes. Yeah. So that's what's great about Signature Studios is, I think it's called Signature Studio. Oh God, they changed the name now. Signature Studios. Oh boy.
Signature
Albert doesn't
Studios.
Know what the heck. I've just asked Albert for help. He's over
Signature
there. Signature Studios LA.
SignatureStudiosLA.com.
Isn't it
a signature from you to sign up?
Yeah. I mean, it's really a great company, and they have all the top A-list casting directors come in. And yes, their associates do come in because, you know, like Junie Lowry Johnson doesn't have time to be coming in. But most of the time, you're going to get people from her office, which are totally legitimate. And so there are companies, $20, $25, it's fair. If it's a legitimate company, I mean, who else are you listed with?
I don't know. I haven't got to any of those casting
casting director workshops,
but I've signed up with so many people around town. Some have used me and some haven't.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to start spitting down names that haven't or have. Mm-hmm. But
what about the one? I mean, it's good to say the ones that have used you because you're promoting them. That's okay.
Well, there's a place called Extra Extra that has been using me quite a bit here.
I think that's the same one Barbara's with, Extra Extra.
Extra Extra. Uh-huh. Those guys are pretty good. Of course, we mentioned Central.
Yeah.
That's the best one in town.
Yeah. That's the huge one. And they're huge. I mean, they've been around forever. But if you just get a casting book, do the Ross reports, you'll be able to find them. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. I'd be more than happy to give you a list. I have one at home. I don't know why I didn't bring it today. But, yeah, so it's okay to pay $20, $25. You just never pay anyone to get you a job, like a job. Again, the $20, $25 covers the picture, and then they have to make some money with the administrative fee. But not $100, $200, $300. If they want that, forget it. I just had a friend, oh my God, he wants to be a model, and he just signed up with, I'm not going to mention the company, but they want $900. Yeah. And they said for $900, he'll get portfolio pictures and materials. And he put a deposit down.
Yikes.
And I'm like, what is wrong with you? You don't do that. But his logic is that, well, I've been spinning my wheels. I haven't been able to do it myself. So if they're going to do it for me, why not? Why do you think that you shouldn't do that? I mean, if you got $900 and you want to just blow it, then fine. But you got to be so thrifty with your money, right, Andy?
Yes, you have to be very careful. Some of these places that you sign up for. Now, if you talk to someone, they say, oh, these people use me a lot. You might sign up with them and thinking the same thing, and it might not happen
That's right. You
because you're not their type. You're the wrong person. And sometimes that happens with me.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be really careful. I was approached by a manager once that mm-hmm. wanted me to pay them so much money a month.
Oh.
And I have learned that you don't pay a manager up front any money. All these people, you don't pay them money.
No.
Some of these things are a big scam. $900, that's a big chunk of money. It's you're trying to buy into the dream, and I'm not sure if you can really buy into this. I think it's a lot of work, more work than a lot of people think.
Right.
But it's so rewarding once you get to the point where you're working, doing things.
Yeah, an agent is not going to ask you to pay. A legitimate agent is not going to ask you to pay him. He gets a percentage of everything that you are booked on.
Those kind of agents are trying to feed off the dream that everyone has.
Yeah.
And
another thing to, I don't know if you've had this experience, but a lot of times these people who are so-called agents, they will put out notices and say they're accepting people in a certain age category.
That's correct.
And they're looking for a certain type. And when you go in there, when you get a call, you're so excited. If you don't have representation, you're so excited to be called, and the thought of being taken on by either a talent manager or an agent, you lose your damn mind. And what happens is that you are in a state where you're so vulnerable to be sucked into it. Now, what the scam is on that is they call you in, and they call you in based on your resume. If they see that you're booking a lot of stuff on your own, then they say, well, this person's booking a lot of stuff on their own. And remember, when you sign on and agree to become represented by that agent, you have to pay them whether or not they booked the job for you or not. So they're looking for people who are booking their own work, specifically non-union stuff, and you have to give them a percentage. So they don't have to do anything, and they just sit back, and because they're your agent, you have to pay them whether they booked you on the job or not. And that's the latest scam. Have you been associated with something like that?
There was this one lady that got a job on her own, and she actually had to give the agent 10% of the pay because it's in the contract.
Right, right. Now, that's fine if the agent is actually sending you out auditions and trying, but there's a lot of them that aren't doing anything and sending you out for anything, but yet they expect you to be giving them pay for that, for them doing absolutely nothing. And that's a big scam.
And that's unfortunately how it seems to be working in this town.
Right. And then a lot of times they have these so-called talent managers that say they'll take you on and represent you. And they say they want to see your headshots and resume. And of course, your headshots are just not happening. They're not going to work. You need new headshots. Oh, I got just the person for you. And what they do is they recommend you to their people. And then they get a kickback from that. It's called payola. They get a kickback from that, and they get a percentage for referring you to that photographer, and etc. So, what other scams are out there, Andy, that you've experienced?
Well, let's see. There's the old casting couch, but I don't really fall into that one too much.
We're long past the casting couch days.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we'd have to catch the casting directors and force them on the couch these days.
But those are quick fixes, and it's not really what long term of this whole business is about.
It's not. You just have to make sure you go to acting classes. It's really good to take commercial acting classes as well as regular acting classes. And to be involved in theater is another good way to be seen, because a lot of agents and people in the business go to theater.
Yes.
And a lot of people have been discovered that way, for sure.
Al Pacino.
Yeah, Al Pacino. Just try to take classes. And again, a lot of times when you go to, say, for example, I go to a lot of casting director workshop. What happens if you are lucky to get in front of a casting director that's legitimate? The first thing that casting director is going to look at is, of course, do you have the right look that they're looking for a project?
That's number one in this town.
Number one. Doesn't matter what you look like. But if you're right for what they're looking for, first thing, okay, number one, you fit that category. They flip it over, and do you know where their eyes go second? Right to the training. Right to the training. They want to see who you've studied with. And if they see Howard Fine Studio, they see Larry Moss, you're in like Flynn, because these are the top studios in the business. Now, yes, they do cost a lot of money.
They're expensive, yes.
But you just can't get into them either. You have to be a good actor, because they audition you to get into these classes. So you have to be of a certain caliber. So that cast director knows if you were in that class, you have a big range.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but it does cost money to get in there. We're talking like, I don't know exactly, but $300,
$400.
So then people are like, well, why do I have to pay all that money to get in there? I thought that you didn't. So it's so many conflicting stories.
It is. Now, it costs a lot of money to live, costs a lot of money to be in Los Angeles, to just to stay here. The number one thing that you should be putting money is your headshot. If you don't have a good headshot, that's your calling card. If you don't have a good one, then you might as well just, you're spinning your wheels. Okay, and the same with the classes. You have to be in a class, and you have to put your money there. And you can't really skimp on some of these things.
Right.
You have to do this stuff, so you have to do whatever you can, sort of.
Is it skimp? What is it?
Skimp.
Skimp?
Yeah.
Skimp. Yeah. You don't want to skimp on headshots, but you also don't want to be paying $300, $400, $500, because there are celebrities out, photographers that have celebrity experience that are doing it now for $200, $250. And casting directors will agree with that. You don't really need to spend over $250 for four looks right now. $300, possibly no more than $300. It's not necessary. You can get top shots for that and walk out with your DVD the same day. Are you in agreement?
There's one photographer in town. He charges $700 or $900 for these headshots, and he has a signature red square around every headshot. Everybody sees that red border, and they know it is his headshot. But I've seen tens of thousands of headshots in this town, and they're not that much better than these other ones.
Yeah, and again, you just, word of mouth, look at the headshots that your friends, your actor friends have. But you also have to be realistic based on what your look is. Remember, you got to know what your brand is. So try to find somebody who has a similar brand to you. And what I mean by brand is what you're trying to how you're trying to come across in the picture. Do you want the bad boy image? Do you want the girl next door image? Do you want, you know, a character shot? Do you want to be more dramatic? So find out other people. Where did you get your headshot? Where did you get your headshot? Oh, how much? Do you think they'll get a discount if they refer you? So, you know, ask that. And again, training. Save the money for headshots and your training classes.
Those two are the most important two things.
Right. And as Andy has listed under special skills, try to take as many side classes and get as many skills as you possibly can.
Life skills
such as archery, billiards, because these are things that may possibly get you in the door for something. It's an additional thing, an additional skill you can have, an additional talent.
You also have to be prepared for luck. Mm-hmm. I was on a set one time and we're all sitting around and it was a commercial, a perfume commercial airing over in Europe, and the main actor guy didn't show up.
Yeah.
So the director looked around, pointed at me, and put me in his spot.
Yeah.
I did the spot, did okay, and then at the end of the show or shoot, he says, "By the way, do you have a headshot?" And I always carry on headshots with me wherever I go.
Absolutely.
Even if I go to the restroom, I carry my headshots.
That's right.
You always have a business card.
If anything, if they don't have toilet paper, there's the headshot.
There you go. I'm sure people have used that for that purpose too, and for dartboard covers.
Right. But Andy's right. Carry it wherever you go.
Wherever you go.
Keep it updated.
And don't be ashamed of your resume. Your resume should be like, you should be proud of your resume.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on set, asked people, "Well, let me look at your resume." They say, "Oh no, I don't look at it." I don't know why people would do that.
Yeah, I've seen
then
that.
You need mm-hmm. you need to have it fixed or someone work on it and stuff.
Right. Yeah, people, please learn how to do a resume and do not. Oh, this is a pet peeve of mine. I deal with so many people who have resumes where they don't know how to put their resume in a table, so they space over with the space bar.
Oh, they don't know how to set tabs. Oh, it makes me crazy.
Doesn't that drive you nuts?
I fix people's resumes, so if anybody wants any help or suggestion, just drop me a line at my .com. And
yeah, go to Andy Brusseau at andybrosseau.com, or he has an email, andybrosseau@juno.com. Oh, so you're taking advantage of the Juno. What is that? Where it's how? Remember we had that? It was like $5 a month or something. Net zero. Oh yeah, we used to have net zero. You have dial up, right?
Not now, and I have DSL.
Oh, you have DSL now.
And Juno is free. That's why.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're taking advantage. A lot of people don't know that, people. But if you're a poor actor and you can't afford to have DSL, Juno. As long as you don't go over 10 hours a month, you can have internet access for free, correct?
That's correct.
That's right. Hey, just for email, mail things out, fantastic. So another thing that will help you that people don't think about, dialects. If you can, the more dialects, the more accents that you can do and be proficient, there's a lot of work outside. I don't want to say this, people are going to get mad, but there's a lot of work outside the country, especially in England, New Zealand, Africa. And if you have those accents, you can do a South African accent if you're Caucasian, or a British accent, or an accent like that, you will get work. Because people in England love to hire American actors as well. If you watch British shows, you will notice that a lot more American actors are getting cast over there. So also add your accents. Anything else?
No, it sounds really good. I like to plug my acting coach.
Yay!
My acting coach.
That's another thing. You got to find a great acting coach.
Yes.
Very important.
My acting coach, her name is Sarah Simmons. She works out of Toluca Lake over here, and her phone number is 818-720-4318.
Do it again?
Her phone number is, make sure I get this right, and it's 818-720-4318. Her name is Sarah Simmons, and she has taught me a lot, and she's a very good personal
actress, teacher.
Yes. So you'd be really great for consultation. So people should call you for acting career stuff.
Yes. We really barely should. Even touched all the information that I have here, but we're starting to run out of time
it
here.
Runs.
I have
anything you want to get
I
in
have
for 2 minutes?
So many things. Your resumes. I mentioned something about you have to have a resume. Some agents read from the top down. They look at what you've done and you'd be performing. Some of them look from the bottom up. Your
mm-hmm.
special skills.
Mm-hmm.
Your special skills are real important because sometimes you'll be on set. They'll need something. I was on set and they needed someone to drive a golf cart.
Mm-hmm.
So I drive a golf cart. So I got over there and I sat in the car and I sat there and looked around and says, does anybody know how to drive this thing? Because I had no idea. But that's not the point. The point
right.
is that you get up and you do things. You have
right.
to live your life.
Right.
You have to do many things. So get your resume set, your headshot set, and
mm-hmm.
those are the two most important things. When you're doing, you set up a headshot, most people put them in different order, but they always like to see television, film, theater, commercials, training, special skills in that order. Don't try and be real fancy and think you're going to like switch it different around because you want to be different. They're going to look at your resume or headshot and they're going to toss it out. When they're looking through big stacks of headshots, they give you about 2 seconds. They pick up your picture, look at it, no, yes, no. If it's a yes, then they'll turn it over and they'll look at the resume and they'll give you about 4 seconds of looking at your resume and then set it down, yes or no. So that's all you really get is 6 seconds. So
yeah.
It has to be laid out correctly, 3-column, in the format that everybody's used to so they can look at it at a quick glance.
Right, and height, weight, hair, eyes, website, and email. Don't put any personal information on those resumes, okay? All right, looks like we're out of time, everybody. If you have any questions for Andy, email them. Other than that, we'll see you next week on Question Reality.
Do you need a website but don't think that you can afford one? Do you dread the thought of even doing the research to find a company that you can afford? Do you cringe because you know that the person you talk to will try to sell you more than the advertised price? At Design on a Dime websites, we pride ourselves in being able to design original, professional, efficient, creative, and extremely affordable websites. Your website design will load fast, be customized to fit your needs and vision, and be presented in a clear, concise, and easy-to-read format with user-friendly link navigation. We challenge you to find a company that has lower prices and better customer service with beautiful, original designs. So, gather some dimes together and call us today at 213-687-6903 or visit us on the web at designonadime.us for your personal consultation with a very friendly representative who will be able to give you a great website that fits your budget.